Welcome to Raising Well-Nourished Kids, your go-to parenting podcast for everyday strategies to help you raise emotionally resilient, happy, food-loving kids.
Hi, I'm Georgia Harding, a naturopath, founder of the Well-Nourished Family Membership, and proud mum of two thriving teenagers.
And I'm Jane Faulkner, a practicing psychotherapist, the founder of Equine Assisted Therapy Australia, and also a mum of two beautiful, busy kiddos.
Join us every week as we share practical tips to set your kids up for healthier eating habits, body positivity, and a lifelong love of whole foods. Let's dive in.
Hey, so today's podcast, we're going to talk about changes in kids' eating habits and desire for whole food after Easter or any celebratory time like Christmas or holidays or a run of birthdays when more processed and high sugar food creeps in.
Yeah, these times can be a bit tricky, but first of all, I just wanted to give you a bit of background as to why kids are drawn to junk food and processed food and why these indulgent times can kind of set up or perpetuate fussy eating behaviours. So children's inclination towards junk and processed food definitely stems from a combination of both biological and physiological factors. Biologically, the human brain possesses a primitive structure known as the reward system. It's designed to release feel-good chemicals like dopamine when engaging in activities for survival, such as eating food, especially high-energy foods. So processed and sugary foods, they trigger a substantial dopamine release, providing this kind of immediate sense of pleasure. Interestingly enough, food manufacturers know this is the case and they 100% exploit this biological response. They intentionally engineer processed foods to target these evolutionary impulses and engage the brain's reward system more effectively than any other natural food basically can. However, this heightened stimulation, it does have a downside. The frequent activation of the reward system, so when you're frequently eating sugary foods, leads to a reduction in dopamine receptor sites in the brain. So then you require more dopamine to achieve that same level of satisfaction. So consequently, children develop a really strong desire for sugary or fatty or processed foods just to meet this increased dopamine needs. And this cycle creates, a bit of a cycle where they're in this tenacious pursuit, you know, badgering us for these high sugary foods. And, you know, that's been driven, as I said, from this biological cravings and the need to avoid the withdrawal symptoms associated with the lack of processed foods, which, you know, affects their behaviour and also their overall well-being. And despite the challenges posed by the addictive nature of processed foods, recent studies actually suggest that it is completely possible to retrain your brain or retrain your kids' brains to prefer healthier options, offering hope for a break in the cycle of kind of unhealthy eating habits. And, you know, I see this kind of pattern develop repeatedly with my own kids and have over the years.
I'm just thinking how amazing the brain and the body is.
It's incredible, isn't it? And even myself, like, you know, we're talking about children here, but the same goes for adults. You know, after high sugar periods like Christmas and Easter and birthdays and celebrations or holidays, we all of a sudden begin seeking more sugar than we normally would. I also see my kids kind of being really wanting to fill up on lots of fruit and dried fruit. So, again, it's that drive towards sugary foods, either natural sugars, but still that drive's there. So when this happens, I know it's time for us to really knuckle down, to, you know, really start to remove or reduce sweet and refined carbohydrates and focus on eating more good fats and protein. And soon that kind of sweet, simple carbohydrate craving is a distant memory. This resetting after indulgent periods is something that, you know, we may all need to do right throughout our lives and right throughout our kids' lives. So, you know, often after a holiday or a celebration where we've had heaps of sweet foods, you can, and you can see those kind of primitive impulses have taken over.
Yeah.
It might be something that you need to do yourself, or it's like a whole family. You know, I definitely know that after holidays, I talk to my kids about, okay, this is why we're wanting to, we're wanting all of these foods, you know, these simple refined carbs, and, and they understand now. They'll even say to me, you know, Mum, I just want to eat sweet things. So we need to knuckle down. Like we need to get back on track. And, you know, we need to, just as I said, they didn't, it took lots of reminders when they were young, but now as teenagers and adults, they actually know that they need to reset. They totally know that that feeling of being driven towards sweet and sugary things, and they'll just kind of come to me and go, okay, let's knuckle down. We're going to reset for the next few weeks. And I'm like, yep, absolutely, let's do this.
Because you start feeling crappy, don't you, when you've just compared to when you're eating, you know, good solid protein and plenty of
absolutely
veggies.
We all know that feeling that, you know, when you, the more crappy foods you eat, the more you crave them. And when you're not eating crappy foods, you don't crave them, and you feel like eating healthier foods. So it's kind of a cycle that we can, we all have complete control over. That we can make that decision that no, we're not going to eat the sweet sugary foods. It just, it's a short period of time. It's not a long period of time, that reset.
I think that's what's important too. For people to remember and kids to know.
Absolutely. 100%.
It can be really challenging for everyone, you know. Your biological drives are so strong to seek out sugar and fat. And kids can be constantly at you to give in and just give them what they want, especially after less routine times during holidays when boundaries, you know, probably got a bit looser.
Which is good. I mean, we like to have loose boundaries when we're not in our day-to-day. It's good for us all, isn't it? But
Let
at some point,
and relax.
We need to get back on track.
And that's the time that you need to get more disciplined. And so to do that, you kind of need a plan. And support yourself and your family by not having temptation like junk food easily available. It helps to constantly remind yourself that it's a short-term restriction, like we said. Just 3 to 5 days should see you right, and that everyone will feel better and function so much better for it.
Short-term pain for a long-term gain was what I always kind of kept in mind when the kids were little and we had decided, okay, it's time to reset. I'm like, just do this for a few days and I know the whinging's going to stop. We're going to get back to normal and we'll all feel a whole lot better.
Definitely. So resetting will involve having solid boundaries in place about what is eaten and when these boundaries need to be discussed and understood by everyone and then held firmly. Even the little ones need to know that there is no point in nagging Mum because she's not going to buy an ice cream no matter how much she gets mad.
That's that firm boundary, isn't it?
Totally.
Just being set in that boundary.
And consistent, you know, and reliable. So not going, oh, all right, just this once.
Just today.
Because the next time they're going to badger you even more.
So
the key point is that you never give in to nagging, which can be really hard when you're tired. But if you do give in to nagging, you'll have ongoing battles with kids that have memories like elephants. So when they do start asking you, see if you can distract them or just let them know they can keep nagging until they're blue in the face. They are not getting the junk food simply because it's not good for their health. I found if I had, when I reminded myself why I was doing it and I had, I was really clear in my tagline back to the kids that it was a lot easier. And something around their health would just be like end of story. So it's really important that you just don't give in no matter what they throw at you. And I know some kids are pretty good at chucking tanties.
I had one of those.
And remind yourself they're probably tired or hungry and the junk will make them worse, actually. Like it's, you might give it to them and then everything's going to go downhill even further. So if you're out and about or shopping together, get your kids involved. So engaging and engaging your kids and keeping them busy can be really helpful. So they can fill the bags with fruit or veggies, or if they're older, you can get them to go and search for what you need. I know for me, because I was reliable and consistent, I got to the point where if they did ask or start nagging, I would just give them a look and remind them, you know, there's no point in even asking. It's not happening.
Yeah.
And I remember once my daughter's friend stayed with us and she started to nag me for an ice cream.
Wow.
And my daughter, my daughter said to her friend, don't even try. Mum won't buy it for you. Yeah. And just quietly, I was really pleased. I was like, oh, yes.
Yes, exactly. She's recognised this is not happening.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, like it's not about being rigid all the time. No. You know, life's full of ebbs and flows and holidays and celebrations. But it's
about getting back on track, isn't it?
Totally.
We all need, we have moments where we blow out.
Definitely.
And it's a skill to teach your kids. For me, I feel like the greatest things I've taught my kids is they know when they've just gone off the track and they're not feeling good and that they need to get back on track. And the way that they know that is through these exercises of resetting.
Yes.
In their lifetime.
Yeah. And feeling what it's like when they're not having all the junk.
And the classic time is usually like after, we're talking about this after Easter for that reason, because it is such a high sugar.
Oh, yeah.
Period.
Chocolate everywhere.
Yeah.
I know.
And it's even a time, I know we've spoken about this before, where it took me a few years to realize this, but I realized like my kids hardly ever got sick. But if they ever did get sick, it was almost always after Easter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, we know that sugar suppresses the immune system,
but, you know,
overall their diet wasn't great
in
that period of time.
Yeah.
Too much sugar and, you live and you learn.
Yeah. Definitely.
And that's even more motivation when, you know, you're having to deal with sick kids to think, okay, well, I'm not going to get to this point next time.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to get on the reset as soon as we're back to, you know, reality and,
Get on the reset and also make boundaries just a normal part of your life.
Totally.
So kids get to that point where they're like, oh, there's no point nagging.
Yes.
You know, we know that when boundaries are created, expressed and stuck to, everything flows so much easier.
Yeah.
And we find if the boundaries were solid before the holiday, like I said, before Easter, then it's kind of they snap back into place.
Yes.
Because I find kids like boundaries too.
Mm.
You know, kids like that structure.
Mm.
It kind of, it's nice to have a holiday and a break, but I feel like everyone likes it when we get back into that kind of, everyone knows where they're at.
Yep.
I think it is really important not to call food good or bad.
Yeah.
Or to inject any guilt or negative emotion into the reset.
Yep.
Just reminding the kids that you're simply giving the body a hand to feel good again, and that, you know, having a break from sugar is really important for the body and for our health.
Yeah. I can remember actually my hairdresser, funnily enough, talking about how she explains to her kids that some foods are tricky in that they trick us into thinking that we should eat more when in fact we shouldn't be eating more. So I really liked that use of the word tricky.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because it's so true.
Mm. I mean, 100% is 100% true.
Yeah. A lot of these manufactured foods trick the body into
thinking
exactly
that. You know, like we were just explaining with that, it's a part of our biology.
Yes.
It's, like you said, it's the manufacturers are playing to our innate need to stimulate that reward center in the brain. So yeah, I really liked that tricky.
Yeah.
You talking reminded me of it.
So I guess holidays give kids good information. We've spoken before in the podcast about letting the kids learn from experiences and letting kids feel what it's like after Easter or Halloween or Christmas. Mm. And I think of my kids now and like my son who's older and he might go out with his mates for the weekend and eat crap food the whole weekend and he'll come home and he'll be like, I just want to eat salads.
Yep.
Like he'll say, I've been eating crap food and I need
to. Yeah, mine are exactly the same.
I just want veggies and salad and it's like, yay.
Yeah.
They recognize it because they've had that experience of having
her point of reference.
Good food.
Yeah.
So I think it's really important to help them link how their body feels to the food that they've been eating.
Yep.
And doing that, they become so much more discerning
yeah.
about what they eat.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know for me, I want them to start linking actions with consequences, and I don't want it to be about them having to rebel against me or prove that they have the power. I want them to do it because they feel it's in their best interests. You know, I want them to be intrinsically motivated.
Yeah, I love that.
About their health. Yeah.
So important.
Yeah, totally.
So important because our kids, as they get older, again, I think they're probably a little biologically wired to rebel, move away from us.
Yeah.
So if there's areas that we can prepare them for, and I think food is just such an important part of them feeling happy and healthy physically and mentally.
Yes.
If we can kind of, work that into our favour when they're younger.
Yeah.
And all the other rebellious stuff is easier to deal with.
Oh, I agree. And I mean, I think when it impacts their health.
Yes.
You know, and how they feel.
Yeah.
For me, giving your kids that fresh start of whole foods.
Yeah.
Gives them that foundation that they always come back to.
Yeah.
And for me, this is what we're aiming for as a parent, kids that can discern and make informed choices for the benefit of their health, not just because I told them to do something.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think with food choices, we're always trying to encourage our kids to be mindful, to think about what they're about to eat before they eat it, and to think about how they'll feel after they've eaten.
Mm.
That's a huge thing for them to link, like, oh, after I had that McDonald's burger, I felt like crap. So next time they're like, I'm not going to have that burger.
Yeah. My kids are like that with Subway, actually. I had that at school once and, like, it was a school excursion. They had Subway and then felt really unwell afterwards.
Yeah. So. Just puts them on.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, it is. It's fantastic.
Yeah. So now that they're teenagers, it's great. They can kind of, I love seeing them say no to junk food without me being on their shoulder kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I guess for me, it's like lollies. As my kids got older, I no longer kind of said no. Yeah. I more said, well, have a look at the label, see what's in it.
Yeah.
It's full of numbers, and numbers mean chemicals, and chemicals aren't great for you. And if they've had
that relation, again, that experience with chemicals, like a coloured food, for example, they're less likely to go there. I know my son had a run-in with red sausages, you know, those Frankfurter things that made him vomit. So he learned quite early that red things, things that are brightly coloured red are most likely going to make him feel unwell.
Yes. For me, I guess as they got older and kind of getting them to make the decision, I think an important piece is I learnt not to comment either way.
Yes.
I was more supportive, like, you know, kind of just supporting them to feel better, not kind of say, well, I told you and you shouldn't have done that. It was more, I felt like, oh, man, they've learned that.
Yes.
That's interesting. I didn't want to take the high moral ground.
Yeah, okay. I've probably done that too many times, I have to be honest. Can't help myself. Like, I told you so. You shouldn't have eaten that.
For me, I'm trying to encourage mindfulness and moderation as well as an appreciation for food and the togetherness of mealtimes.
Yeah, beautiful. Go ahead.
Food's meant to be something to be fully present with and savoured and enjoyed. And when we allow ourselves to do this, we're more likely to feel satisfied physically, mentally and emotionally.
Yeah.
I think when we have guilt around food and we shove food in and remind ourselves it's bad, so I'll just scoff it down, we kind of set ourselves up to crave it more and create this horrible cycle of scoffing it down and feeling guilty and bad. While we do it, it doesn't lead to a feeling of satisfaction or fullness.
Yeah, right, yeah.
So for me, I'm wanting them more to enjoy whatever they're eating, even if they chose the lolly with all the numbers.
Yeah,
it's like, well,
I love that.
Enjoy it.
Yeah, yeah.
Really savour it.
Yes.
And I found when they did that, they actually, they'd taste it and they'd often not finish it.
Yeah.
They would kind of get satisfied with the first little taste and then they'd be like, they would realize themselves, it's too much.
Yeah, yeah, so, interesting.
Mm.
Okay. I think we're done.
Yeah. Cool.
Awesome. Nice. I hope you enjoyed that, and I hope you got lots and lots of golden tips from it. Yes. And we'll see you again next time.
Awesome. Bye.
Bye. Thanks for joining us on this episode of the Raising Well-Nourished Kids podcast.
If you'd like to learn more about raising happy, emotionally resilient, food-loving kids, check out the Well-Nourished Kids program or follow us at Well-Nourished Kids on Instagram.
And if you've enjoyed what you've heard today, we'd really love it if you could take a moment to leave a review, subscribe, and share with a few friends.
Remember, it takes a village, and we're here to support you on your parenting journey.
We'll catch you next time.